Good evening, everybody.
It's been a wonderful day here at South Valley. Not only here, we had a good number. In fact, our numbers have been very good. And it's not about numbers. It's about people hearing the gospel. It's about people hearing the word of God. We had 113 in attendance this morning, and about close to two dozen of our members were out, either out of town. Preston was up at Bright Angel preaching the gospel. Dick was out in Pahrump preaching the gospel. From this little tiny place, the gospel's getting preached. And we greatly rejoice in that. We're going to continue our lesson on the journey of Jesus. I'd have to look back. It's been, I think, a little over a year that we've been looking at some of the different aspects of the journey that Jesus made from heaven. He was present at the creation and coming to earth, his ministry, his miracles, his healings, his trial, his death, burial, and resurrection. And tonight we're going to look at the Great Commission and his ascension back into heaven. After tonight, we'll have only two more lessons, but I tell you, it's been a good study. I know it's been good for me, at least. Some of the comments from you, you've enjoyed it and have gotten quite a bit out of it also. But let's look at the Great Commission. This was at the end, before Jesus was taken back up into heaven. We're going to be looking at the account in Matthew. And if you wanted to read along silently in your Bible, I'll be starting in verse 18 of Matthew 28. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" That statement right there is important. The fact that Jesus has all authority. All authority to the credibility to when he gives a command, he has full authority to do that. It goes on to say, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." There are a number going, Miss Christopher would be glad that I could remember the difference between verbs and nouns and things like that, looking at me now, because back in school, I wasn't a great English student, but I remember verbs were action words. And there's a number of verbs here. One is go. The word go. Not just sit on your hands, but go, do something. And then he tells them what he needs them to do. Another verb is make disciples of all the nations. And then another verb, baptizing them, teaching them. There's a number of things in that command by Jesus, but the imperative, the command, is to make disciples. And that's what, this is one of the last recorded things that we have before Jesus was taken back into heaven. And he was giving this command to his apostles, and he's not going to be with them any longer. And he's passing the torch to them. They are going to be in charge of carrying this out. He has prepared them. He spent 3 years, them following him, them witnessing what Jesus did. They saw, he mentored them. He trained them. They were able to see him in a multitude of situations, whether they were sitting and eating, out on a boat fishing, traveling, just walking down the road. They had the benefit of listening, watching, and learning from the Master, the Son of God. And he had just told them, all authority has been given me, and now he's telling them to do this. Go make disciples. You do what you did. You've listened. You've learned. You go teach others. And he tells them what to do in the process, baptizing them. In the account in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, when he's at this point, that's the verse that we use so often, Mark 16:16, when he's given them this great commission, he also says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And it's just another perspective of this same event. But he adds in Mark that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And Jesus is telling them here in Matthew, he says, baptizing them, how? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, that's not the end result. It's once you get wet, once you come up out of baptism, that's not where it ends. He goes on to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. You don't have to know all things to be baptized. That's a sticking point with a lot of people. A lot of people, they learn, and they start learning about Christianity, and they look around, well, I don't know as much as this person or that person, or I don't know as much as I should. And they think that they have to learn everything to be baptized. No, you need to know what you need to do to be saved. But then, as Jesus is telling them, after that, you can continue to teach them. Teach them all the things. Make them a complete Christian. A complete Christian. Teaching them all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, they didn't argue. They didn't come up with excuses like Moses did. We've talked about Moses before, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage. Moses started coming up with excuses why he couldn't do it. God gave Moses the same comfort that Jesus has given the apostles here. I am with you. I will be with you till the end of the age. And that's comforting to know that you don't have to rest on everything about you. God's with you. Jesus is with you. This command to make disciples applies to us. When we go, we don't necessarily have to go to foreign lands like a missionary, although there's nothing wrong with that. But could you imagine if all of us went to other places? Who'd mind the store here? We have to go and take Jesus with us when we go to the store, when we're going to work. Share the gospel with those people. Share the gospel with our neighbors. Share the gospel with our own families. And teach them everything that we've learned. We can do that. We can share. And I don't mean this mean or anything. I don't want to hear it from people. Oh, I can't do that. We teach people all the time. We teach people how to bake a cake. We teach people how to change a tire. We teach people at work what to do in this situation at work. We teach people all the time. We can teach others what we know. And it's imperative to us to know. If we're supposed to be teaching them, we have to know it. That's why it's imperative for us to get into the Word, to read the Word, to be proficient with that Word. You know, Paul told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Jesus promised he would be with them. In the account in Luke, we see that Jesus blessed them. Says, I'm going to be with you. In Luke, he blessed them. After this was his ascension back into heaven. What an event to have witnessed. Well, sitting down and having lunch with Jesus would have been something to witness. But seeing him after this great commission ascend back into heaven would have been something to have seen. It kind of would have been final that it's on us now to carry this on, but to see him ascend back where he had come from. And in Acts 1, I'd like for us to look at verses 1 through 11. It starts out, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. And let me pause here for just a second. The same person writing this, Acts, is the same person that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he says that he's written an account of all that Jesus began to do, but both do and teach, until the day which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We've had previous lessons about the resurrection and so forth. And during that 40 days that he was alive, it says he presented himself alive with many infallible proofs, teachings, healings. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. Our lesson the last time was breakfast by the sea, where he restored Peter and he ate with them. They touched the wounds in his hands. They put their hands in the wound in his side. Many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 1 week later would be the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the others would get up, and it was the beginning of the church. Jesus died during Passover. He was dead 3 days, and then he presented himself alive for 40. That's 43. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. So 1 week after this would be the great sermon by Peter, the beginning of the church, the beginning that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. It's 1 week away. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jesus was not just going to leave them to their own devices. Jesus was not going to go back to the Father and just leave them on their own. He was going to give them a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I can only imagine what Jesus was thinking. Have I not got, I'm getting ready to leave and you're still misunderstanding about this earthly kingdom? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. You do what I've told you. Don't worry about that, those things. You do what I've told you. You follow me. He goes on to say, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This power that they were going to get just days later, Jesus told them about that at the end of Mark when he is telling them the Great Commission, and that when he's getting ready to ascend, he says, and this power will be with you. You will cast out demons. You will be able to take up serpents, drink poison, heal people. And this power you will get when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will speak in different languages. And we'll see that on the day of Pentecost. How the apostles got up and delivered this gospel message in different languages. And the people in Jerusalem that were there for Pentecost heard these different nationalities that were there, heard it in their language. And I will be with you in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, even to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow. To be able to witness that. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And the next time that I think next month that I have the opportunity to speak, we're going to look at his return. And it is exactly the way that it happened here in Acts, the first chapter, how he returns in the clouds. And we will look at that. We've got two more lessons in this journey of Jesus. We will look at his return. And then after that, we will look at judgment. And it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to dig into this, this journey of Jesus. I hope you've gotten something out of it. If the lesson is yours for tonight, if there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation through baptism, prayers, repentance, whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.